Today we have the great privilege of celebrating the solemnity of Corpus Christi, that is, the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of our blessed Lord Jesus. It is a feast that has taken on far, far greater importance in our day because the vast majority of Catholics, even more than three quarters of people who call themselves Catholic, say that they do not believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. They believe it's just a symbol or just a sign. In other words, it's just a piece of bread that reminds us of who Jesus is or points to Jesus. If that were the case, then we're guilty of idol worship. And if that were the case, none of us should be here because we'd be guilty of false worship. We would be offering nothing but bread and wine. And when you came up for Holy Communion, you would receive nothing but a piece of bread. So we need to look at what this really is, who this really is, because this is central to so much of who we are and what we do. So we see how at the Last Supper, our Lord took the bread and the wine, and he told his apostles that this was his body, this was his blood. Notice he didn't say, this is a symbol of my body and blood. Jesus is God. Scripture says regarding creation, God spoke and it came to be. Think back of some of the miracles of the healing that our Lord worked. He simply spoke. He didn't touch the people. He didn't do anything. Some of them certainly he did, but there were a few that he simply spoke. The man with the withered hand, Jesus simply said, reach your hand out, and his hand was healed. The one we repeat right before receiving Holy Communion, when the centurion came and asked the Lord to heal his servant. The Lord was willing to go, and he said, no, only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus spoke, and it happened because he is God. He cannot lie. He cannot deceive. And so if he says, this is my body, that's what it is, because he cannot fool us. And so we look at that and we say, we believe because Jesus told us. Now, there are some people who struggle with this, and God knew that would happen. And so over the centuries, he's given to us a few occasions where the host is actually turned into a piece of flesh. You can look all that up if you want. One of them is called Santarum in Portugal. One is called Luciano in Italy. But even in the last few years, it was about 20, 25 years ago, there was an occasion in Argentina. You can look it up, just write in Eucharistic miracle, Buenos Aires. And you can hear a scientist talking about what happened, about this host that had fallen on the floor, and so they put it in the water to dissolve it. When they opened it up, it had changed. So they sent it to the lab, and they said, this is human flesh. They sent it to a different lab, and they said, well, not only is this human flesh, but this is somebody who's dead. But, in other words, the flesh was taken after the person died, but the person's still alive because it's pulsating. There's a heartbeat. How can this be? I mean, we can see it's dead flesh, and yet at the same time, it's alive. They sent it to another lab. And the man who did the work at that lab said, this is an amazing thing because we can see from what's in the blood that this man, who, again, they can tell you all these things these days with modern science, So they can tell you he's from the Middle East. They can tell you he was early 30s. They can tell you he's a male. They can tell all kinds of things. This man was able to say, because of the things that were in his blood that his body released, we can tell that this man died an absolutely horrific death. But we cannot explain how this little piece of flesh is alive. We can see that he's dead, but it's still pulsating. It's still alive. We can't explain this. Well, they didn't tell these people what this was until after the fact. So you can look all that up. There was just one a few weeks ago over in Poland. You can look that one up too. But we don't believe because these things happened. We believe because Jesus told us that this is what it is. We have to ask why. Why would he do this? Because he loves us. Because heaven is going to be a mass. Remember that Moses was shown the worship of heaven. And he was told to make a temple similar to what he had seen in heaven. And he was to do what he saw in heaven. So that's what he did. They offered this lamb and they offered the blood and all these different things, just like what he saw in his vision. Except in heaven, it's real. The Old Testament, it was a copy of what they were doing. So what did St. Paul tell us in the second reading? That Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven, not the copy that Moses made, but the real one, the one that Moses saw. And he brought his blood into the Holy of Holies, because remember, the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And he would have to bring in the blood of bulls and goats and sprinkle that on the altar. But St. Paul said that Jesus didn't bring the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood, and thus brought about eternal redemption. So if we look at it from that perspective, we see then this is what heaven is going to be. But God doesn't want to wait until we get to heaven. He loves us so much that he's giving himself to us now. And in order to understand why, we look at what the readings tell us today about covenants. We hear in the first reading about Moses making a covenant, or God making a covenant with Moses, and Moses taking the blood, sprinkled half of it on the altar and half of it on the people. Now, if you were in that crowd, you might not be too pleased if somebody was sprinkling the blood of a bull all over you. But why would he do this? First of all, it connects the people with God. He had spread half of the blood on the altar and half the blood on the people. So it connects the two. But the blood, as we hear and it's in the second reading, it seals the covenant and it purifies it. A covenant is made in blood. And so this one was as well. But this one is different. God made a covenant with Adam. God made a covenant with Noah. God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Moses. God made a covenant with David. You notice that Jesus does not say that God made a covenant with him, because he didn't. Jesus is the covenant. That's where the huge difference is. So in the Old Testament, all of those covenants were external to the people. The one we hear about in the first reading was a covenant written in stone. It's the Ten Commandments. Thus, the blood is external. It's on their body. St. Paul talks about how that's able to purify the flesh. But notice what he says about the blood of Jesus. It purifies our conscience. It's on the inside. It's spiritual. And it purifies us in the soul, not in the body. So when you were baptized, you were baptized into the covenant. You were made a partaker of the covenant. And the Eucharist, your reception of the Eucharist, is the sign of that covenant. When you were baptized into the very person of Jesus Christ. You're a member of the Lord. That's why you can receive him, because you're a member of him. You share his life, you share in his nature, and therefore you can receive him. That's what's going on here. And so when Jesus says, as we hear at every Mass, this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, it is a covenant. Now keep in mind, there are only three sacraments that are covenants: baptism, the Holy Eucharist, and holy matrimony. So people who are married have entered into a covenant. And what happens in that covenant? The two become one. What happened when you were baptized? The two became one. You became a member of Jesus. What happens when you receive Holy Communion? The two are one. You receive Jesus. But at the same time, just like in a marriage, it's not a one-way street. It's just not about us receiving Jesus. We also give ourselves to him. When you were baptized, 100% of you was incorporated into Jesus, and he into you. When you receive Holy Communion, you receive 100% of Jesus. Are you giving yourself 100% to him? That's what you promised in the covenant. That's what it's all about. Now understand, when you receive Holy Communion, he said, not only is this not a symbol or a sign, neither is it just a little bit of Jesus. This is the entire person of Jesus. The church teaches us it is his body, blood, soul, and divinity. That is, his body, blood, and soul is his humanity. His divinity, obviously, he is God. You say, but it's the host is only this big. How can I receive the entire piece of the entire person of Jesus in just a little host? Because you're not receiving him physically. See, in those occasions where the host has become a piece of human flesh, it's no longer a sacrament. It's the physical presence of Jesus at that point. When you receive the sacrament of Holy Eucharist, you receive the entire person because you're receiving him sacramentally, not physically. And you're receiving him into yourself because this covenant is a personal and inner reality. So it really defines who you are. It is so critical for us to be able to understand this. We cannot see him. We cannot feel him. And perhaps that's the reason why so many people don't believe. But we have to recognize that if he does not have the ability to change bread and wine into himself, then neither does he have the ability to take your sins away. Neither does he have the ability through baptism to be able to incorporate you into himself. And neither does he have the ability for the day that you get married to put your two souls together. See, this isn't just some minor little thing. Everything hinges on the fact that this is real. This is the greatest gift that we could ever be given. Because this is God. And he is so humble that he gives himself to us in a way that we can receive him without committing cannibalism, without doing something that would be gross and disgusting to us, but a pure act of love. And so that's what we want to be able to receive, but that's also what we need to emulate. We need to give ourselves to him as he gives himself to us. And if you think about the two sacraments that are most closely related, and that is the Holy Eucharist and Holy Matrimony, isn't that what a married couple is supposed to be doing? Giving themselves to one another 100%. Receiving the gift of the other 100%. It is to be pure love. That's exactly what our Lord is modeling for us. And it's exactly what St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians, that marriage is a symbol of the union or the marriage of Christ and the church. So we see all of this right there. That's what this is all about. So if we can look at the question, who is Jesus? If we can get the answer right, he is God, then anything that he says is the word of God. And if it's the word of God, then it has power, then it has authority, then it has everything of God behind it. And when he speaks, it happens. If Jesus isn't God, once again, why are we here? If he is God and he said, let bread and wine become himself, then that's who he is. That's what the Eucharist is. Understand, you receive him as he is. So again, you look at what these scientists were able to see under their microscope. What they're explaining, we can understand from a different perspective. You receive the Lord crucified, resurrected, ascended, and seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. He is alive for eternity. He is interceding for us. He loves us. He is offering himself for us, and he wants us to be able to be with him for eternity. In the meantime, he's giving himself to us in this way during this time that we're in the world, so that we can be with him and celebrate the same gift forever. This isn't just a cute idea. This isn't just kind of, wow, that's kind of cool. No, this is as great as it gets. That God loves us so much that he gives himself to us, and he wants us to love him so much that we would give ourselves to him in that same way. So that one day, after we die and rise from the dead, we too will be glorified with him and be able to participate in all the glory of the Lord forever. So he's just starting early, getting us prepared, and giving us the greatest gift that we can possibly have. This is God himself. God whom all the universe cannot contain. And yet in the form of a little piece of bread, he enters into us and unites himself with us. That's how humble he is. Can we be humble enough to accept and to be able to say yes, to receive him, to give ourselves to him, to love him? That's what this is all about. And so as we look at what's going on in the church today, and we see so many people who do not believe, we have to look beyond anything that we can see and look at what Jesus himself said. And we say, that's why I believe. Because Jesus is God, and he said it. And if he said it, then that's the way it is. And he said it because he loves. Just that simple. You don't have to try and figure it all out. You don't have to understand all the theology. You just have to know that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he is giving himself to you in this way so that you can receive him, so that you can love him, and so that you can prepare yourself to be with him for all eternity.